Not too long ago, I had to let go of a friendship. I had envisioned and created a small in-person event and already started inviting people in. I was talking to this friend one day about it, and they mentioned they wanted to join. Now, this person wasn't someone I had initially had in mind as one of the main people because they weren't 100% aligned, but because it was a low-pressure sort of pilot event that would hopefully lead to other events, I said, okay. Now, this person later asked questions about the event, typical questions about, you know, what to bring, how we would be set up, what time, etc. And I answered them. And then later they asked the same questions and I answered them again. And what I couldn't answer, I said I'd circle back and let them know. But that wasn't good enough. They took it upon themselves to visit the location without invitation and later told me it was because I didn't seem to know enough about the place or the event, and they wanted to see for themselves. And within the same conversation, they also shared negative comment after negative comment about the location. And they attempted to run things down to me as if to say, hey, I'm taking control of the project now, although it wasn't theirs to take control of. And it was a metaphysical event, so to bring that type of energy just wasn't going to work. Now, being the intuitive that I am, I had already sensed that this was coming. And when I got the intuitive hit that something like this was coming down the line, I stepped back from engaging with them so closely to make space to let any and everything be revealed naturally. Within a couple of conversations, it became obvious that this was not a person I wanted in my life at this time. Because not only did this person show up uninvited at the event location, when I mentioned to them that the way they were going about getting the answers to their questions didn't work for me. They told me that my feelings weren't valid, that I was making up stories in my head, and then tried to downplay the whole ordeal by saying that we just have different communication styles. And all the time that we were on the phone having this conversation, they were chuckling as if they enjoyed it. So there may have been some truth to this, right? We do communicate differently. But that did not excuse all the red flags waving before my eyes. So I gave them an ultimatum to either step back or be uninvited, knowing they'd uninvite themselves, which they did. My daughter overheard the conversation, and as soon as I walked into the room where she was, she said, you know they just tried to gaslight you, right? So what does this have to do with patriarchy? This person often talked about operating in masculine energy when it came to business. The masculine energy in general isn't a bad thing. Masculinity, actually, in its pure form, is presence, protection, clarity, stability, and truth. True masculinity is steady enough to hold space for vulnerability, strong enough to protect without controlling, and clear enough to lead in all areas of life without dominating. But the behaviors displayed by this person were that of toxic masculinity at best. And alongside toxic masculinity is toxic femininity, right? So it's always keeping the toxicity intact. But both are under that larger umbrella of patriarchy. And toxic masculinity is, unfortunately, an acceptable set of socially harmful attitudes and behaviors associated with certain traditional expectations of men. So they suppress their emotions, they express anger and aggression and power, and reject anything that's considered feminine, right? And toxic femininity is what helps uphold those expectations and those harmful attitudes and behaviors. And both contribute to larger issues like misogyny and homophobia. Now, once I reflected, I realized that I had become a mirror for their unresolved relationship with patriarchy. And my own lesson was to cut things off more quickly than I might have in the past. And also to remember that just because something I'm working on is the first run through, you know, it doesn't mean that I can just say yes to all the things. Because if it doesn't align in the areas that I'm sure about, the answer's just no. The truth about deconstructing patriarchy is that it's sticky, it's layered, and it often shows up in ways that we don't anticipate. When most people hear the word patriarchy, they think about politics or external power structures. But these systems live inside us too. They shape the way we think about success, productivity, and even our own self-worth. So one of the most common beliefs I hear in 1,000 different ways is that I only feel valuable when I'm producing. And if I rest, I'm lazy. And if I slow down, I might lose everything. And that belief is so ingrained in our society, right? Here in the United States, during the Industrial Revolution, for example, productivity became hardwired into our culture. People worked in factories where bells dictated every move. The idea of the 9-to-5 work week was floating around then and became standard practice in the early 20th century. And productivity became the measure of a person's worth. Because the idea was, if you work hard, then you can have the American dream. And we still see it today. Schools are built around bells that move students from one class to the next. Most jobs still follow a 5-day work week. Business culture glorifies urgency, and everything feels like it was due yesterday. But the system is outdated, and it doesn't honor creativity, intuition, or collective growth. And for many of us, it feels suffocating and has for decades. Patriarchal conditioning convinces us that success can only be measured by how much money we have, the titles we hold, or how much we produce. It tells us that we must always have the next job, project, or thing lined up, or else we're failing. Patriarchal conditioning also tells us that our worth is based on what we do and not on who we are. And it creates disconnection within ourselves, and from what we really desire and need, and from each other. Because if everyone's busy getting things done, then when do we have time to truly connect? And here's the problem with chasing success through those terms. It's like trying to build a house on sand. For some of us, no matter how much effort we put in, it doesn't hold. Maybe we achieve the things we've been chasing but don't feel fulfilled. Or maybe if we allowed ourselves to envision something outside of what is considered the norm or traditional or the standard, then we could be happy, right? With whatever our own personal level of success is. Patriarchy has also distorted our understanding of what masculine and feminine energy are. When people say they're in their masculine, they're mostly talking about being a boss, controlling, directing, and pushing forward. And femininity then gets reduced to being passive, soft, wearing certain clothing and colors, or simply supporting someone else's vision, right? So being a midwife to someone else's vision, but not necessarily having your own. But those are just shallow interpretations. In their truest form, the masculine and feminine are not opposites at all. They are deeply interwoven. True masculinity, I had already mentioned, is presence and protection, clarity, stability, and truth, right? And true feminine energy is intuition, creativity, and flow. And when you go deep enough into both, they converge in a single rhythm, an integrated dance of receptivity and direction, intuition and structure, creation and containment. So the real question becomes, how do we break ourselves out of these old-ass patriarchal molds, both in life and business, and especially when so much of society is still rooted within them, so that what we create is rooted in our essence and aligned with our truth, rather than shaped by systems of control? It's a big question. And being in the in-between, as I call it, gives you an amazing opportunity to reconsider and to redefine how you operate, your attitudes, your behaviors, your beliefs about how business can better support the trajectory that you're on and better align with who you are. And this is where you, for example, begin envisioning what you want your day-to-day to look like, your week, your month, your year. And you begin trying it on for size. Do you want to work only 4 days a week? Only 3 days a week? Do you want to only work 4 hours a day? Do you not want to think about your days in terms of hours at all? And of course, there'll be stumbling blocks as you continue to deconstruct old beliefs and refine what this vision is and how it actually works and supports you in practice. And I'm totally getting ahead of myself here. But the point I'm trying to make is, but this is where you allow yourself to set aside what you learned about how it's supposed to be. And you open yourself up and you allow yourself to imagine how it could be. And it requires time and dedication, but we're going to do an exercise together to get you moving in that direction. So take one deep breath. Bring it all the way in through your nose, down through your chest, through your stomach, and out through your legs and feet. And I want you to close your eyes if you can. And feel your feet on the floor. Notice where your body touches the chair. And if you're lying back, where your body touches the bed, notice where the heels of your feet rest. Notice the support beneath you. And just allow yourself to soften and to rest in that support. Now I want you to think of one belief you've been carrying about success or business. Don't overthink it. Just let the first one rise up. Maybe it's, if I stop working, everything will fall apart. Or that I'll never make enough money doing what I love. Or that I have to prove myself to be taken seriously. Whatever it is, just hold it in your mind for a second. Notice where it lives in your body. Is it in your chest? Is it in your belly? Is it in your throat? Is it in your head space? Now ask yourself, whose voice is this? Where did it come from? Did it come from your family? A teacher? A boss? Religion? School? Society in general? Did you learn this by scrolling through social media? Where did you first hear it? So I want you to take a breath and really trace it back. Is this belief truly yours? Or is it borrowed? And are there other ones behind it? That I'll never be the woman or the man that I'm supposed to be. That no one wants to buy your product or service that you really want to offer. Maybe that no one listens to you. Whatever they are, just allow them to rise up and to notice where they sit in the body. Now take a deep breath and imagine your spirit, your highest, clearest, most authentic self, writing a new rule in its place, a new belief. If your spirit could write the truth, what would it say? Would it say that I'm valuable simply because I exist? Or that rest is in fact necessary? It restores me. and makes my work more powerful? Would it say that my worth isn't tied to productivity, but instead to presence and to my joy? Just take a minute, and whatever rises, trust it. Is the belief that you can do whatever it is that you came to this earth to do, that everything is inside of you, that if you allowed yourself, you could be successful with whatever you choose. Now let's take this one step further with a visualization. Picture yourself holding the old belief in your hands. You can visualize it written on paper or carved into stone, or maybe just sitting there like a heavy weight. And if you're not that great with visualizing, just listen to the words, because setting the intention is enough. Now imagine yourself walking it back to the system it came from. Take that piece of paper, that piece of stone, that heavy weight, and walk it back to the boss, to the classroom, to the family member, to the friend, or just to society in general, and hand it back, release it, and say that it was never mine to carry. I want you to repeat that. This was never mine to carry. Now imagine yourself standing in a field. The soil is ripe with nutrients. The rain there is abundant. And so things are ready to be planted so they can grow. Imagine yourself planting that new belief, whatever it was, the one your spirit wrote, plant it into the ground and visualize it growing. It first buds up through the earth near your feet. And you take a deep breath in, and you become one with that plant. And that energy rises up through your feet and your legs and takes hold in your root chakra. And it rises then even further into your sacral chakra and up through your solar plexus and into your heart space, and into your throat, and into your third eye, and your crown, and beyond. And I just want you to inhale and exhale a couple of times, and allow yourself to feel that energy. And allow it to expand and to grow in the places where you felt the restriction before. Maybe in your heart or your belly or your throat. You are now one with that plant, and its energy is coursing through your body, up through your crown, and down through your feet. And see the root going down into the ground. It is planted. It is healthy. It is thriving. And trust that it will continue to grow. So take one more deep breath, and when you're ready, open your eyes. So that practice may feel small, but it's radical work. Every time you question and release a belief that was handed to you by a system of control, you reclaim your power. You create space to live and work from your truth instead of an outdated rule book. So this is what deconstructing the patriarchy looks like on a personal level. Sometimes it can be louder. Sometimes it needs to be. But it's not abstract. It's real, embodied, and deeply freeing. And if you'd like, you can take this exercise onto paper. And you can write out your old beliefs, all of them, and what they're connected to. Journal about it for a few minutes. And then write out all the new beliefs that you are replacing them with. And keep them somewhere nearby so that whenever that feeling rises up, you can remind yourself again, oh wait, I don't believe that anymore. I believe this now. So that was just a glimpse inside the Energy Reset Work and Purpose class, where we'll go deeper into these internalized beliefs. We'll unravel them layer by layer, not just noticing them, but actively rewiring them together. So I'll see you in the next recording, where we'll talk about defining and refining your meaningful offer.